Let's all go to the lobby. 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 Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Shakedown, the weekly podcast that functions as a grab bag for all things film. I'm your host, Kyle Craigbaum.
And I'm your other host, Jordan Dennis.
You're back in the studio.
Yes, I am, motherfucker.
This week, we are going to be talking about the newly released Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to the 1986 classic Top Gun, which we are also going to be talking
and
about.
And Bob Burger.
And the Bob's Burgers movie.
Yes.
That's a weird... The Bob's Burgers movie. Yes. That's what the film adaptation of the long-running animated series. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into all that, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. That's good to hear, man. Are you thriving, King?
I'm thriving.
You been drinking water and staying hydrated?
Oh, yeah. You know me.
Been eating good?
You know me. Big water guy.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's what they called me in high school.
Yeah, we called you big water guy. Like, we saw you coming down the hallway. We said, oh, fuck.
There
big,
is.
Big water guy.
Big agua right there.
Yeah. What's big in Spanish?
Grande.
Grande agua.
Agua grande. So, you watch anything else this week?
No fucking, I was down in, you're probably wondering why I wasn't here last week.
I think we mentioned it.
I was down at Cape Girardeau filming a web series. Stay tuned for news on that. But, I watched a couple movies while I was down there. I watched The Breakfast Club for the first time.
You've never seen it?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's fine.
Whoa, okay.
It's cute. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't
mean,
know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't have like
yeah,
a...
Yeah,
like
I don't really have like an attachment to it.
I'm not gonna
sit here and pretend like it's the, you know, best thing since sliced bread. But, you know, it's cute. It's
no,
good.
No,
it's
kinda, no, I
got a good message and everything. Except that that goth girl becoming a generic ass... Ugg boot wearing bitch at
oh, yeah.
the end really
oh, yeah.
really grinds my gears.
Did her dirty as fuck.
But yeah, it's cute. I think I watched Zathura at some point in the past couple
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, you did.
Did I already talk about that?
I'm trying to remember. Yes.
Oh, did I? Fuck.
Yes,
time is
did.
An illusion. It's,
yeah.
it's been a busy 2 weeks for me. But yeah, but I was shooting a series called Shot Night that is... looking to be released sometime this fall, so be on the lookout for that, and I'm sure we'll promote it as I learn things about it here, but it was a good time. Although I would have loved to have seen Men with you guys. I didn't. I watched Chippendale.
Oh yeah,
it's cute.
I like Chippendale.
It's fine.
I liked Chippendale.
3 out of 5. It's the closest thing I think we will ever get to recapturing the magic of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Men was definitely an experience where there's been a few movies in the last couple years where like I've looked to the people I've brought
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh god,
like,
I did not bring the right people to this movie.
You didn't bring the right people.
It happened with The Green Knight. It happened with The Lighthouse. It happened with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It had like we're just like you're like
uh-oh. Oh shit. Dude, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood bangs. I'll die on that hill.
I have to rewatch before comment. But so we watched the start of a TV show on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, a new little underground TV show got released about a character that everyone loves.
Played by an actor that everyone loves. We're talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mid-Wee-Wan Kenobi.
People are seemingly really enjoying this. I think they are very excited to see Ewan back, and they don't really care what you show
Ewan
them.
You and I must be on two completely different sides of the internet, because all I see is people talk shit about this show.
On Twitter, yes, but, like, on Rotten Tomatoes and on Letterboxd and stuff.
I don't go to Rotten Tomatoes. It's on Letterboxd?
It's a miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
And people seem to be liking that there, and it's throwing me off because...
It's fine.
I think that it's just... When you're bringing back this legendary character played by this legendary actor that everyone loves, you would think, holy shit, they have like a really cool idea for this story that's going to be like They've been simmering on this.
Here's the thing.
But it's not.
We're only two episodes in. So I'm gonna reserve any like real harsh critical judgment of like the story until I know where it's going. However, I can criticize the filmmaking all day because boy is it fucking amateur hour over there. What the fuck?
The action scenes are bad.
Really? Just like, and if it's not bad, it's bland. Like it just it doesn't look right. You know what? I will give it this. I think the direction has a little more life to it than Boba Fett. Boba Fett just kind of like
sure
is, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Ewan's really good. Like I'll give it credit.
Oh, but the villain so far.
I like Agent 47 as the Grand Inquisitor. He's really fun. He's really hammy.
You like him?
Yeah. Every time he's there, he's just chewing the scenery. He seems like he's having a great time. No. I've never watched Rebels also.
Yeah.
So I like this is my first introduction to that character, and I'm just like, ah, he's fun. Like,
but the main girl.
I don't hate her. I hesitate to criticize this because I want to know where it's going.
Yeah.
Because here's the Disney Plus pattern is either a show starts really sick and gets bad or starts bad and gets better. So I'm hoping
I'm hoping
things get better from here. And also everything we've seen from the first two episodes is everything we've seen in the marketing.
Yeah.
So going from here, you know, they could have a few surprises. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt for now.
Yeah.
But what they have shown us so far is not super promising.
It's not super impressive. I just, they all these miniseries are just structured like 6-hour movies.
I need to see how they handle Obi-Wan and Vader meeting. Because if they fumble that bag, then that might be
That's
it.
That's a big bag
I'll
to fumble.
I'll probably be calling it on that.
That's a big bag to fumble.
Because I didn't even finish Moon Knight. I got to episode 3, I think, and I was like, nah. So, these Disney Plus series are pretty hit or miss for me.
You know, it's just, it is what it is. I just wish they, like, looked so live.
Andor looks really good. Like
yeah.
Visually.
Yeah, it looks like they put more money into that one than Obi-Wan, which is weird.
I think it's because of the pandemic, they shot, like, Obi-Wan and Boba Fett on the sound stages with, like, the volume and everything.
Yeah.
But I think because Andor is coming out later, I could be wrong, I'm not sure what the timeline is, but I
sense,
just
though.
Assumed like Andor was a little more more outdoor locations and everything like that. It was a little more
But like yeah, but even considering that, like I'm gonna make a comparison. I haven't even watched it yet, but so two shows came out the same day that both had ridiculous budgets, Stranger Things season 4 and Obi-Wan. And from what I've seen of Stranger Things, it uses its budget to be super big scale and colorful and weird and wacky. I don't know if it's good or not. Again, I haven't seen it, but like at least it looks like the money is there.
Yeah.
With Obi-Wan.
Where is the money going in Obi-Wan?
Because there's a character in the second episode that I think he's like a dinosaur species. It quite literally looks like they got a mask from Party City and threw it on this man.
Kumail Nanjiani's fun.
Yeah, he's
fun.
Kumail.
Benny Safdie in the first episode.
My rating of the first two episodes is a 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm right about there with you. I'm willing to see where it goes, but so far not super impressed.
Yeah.
Leia sucks.
Yeah.
Some of the worst child acting maybe in anything ever.
I actually don't hate her.
I think she's really annoying.
I think she's annoying. I really don't think the actress is that bad in terms of child actors. It's like I've seen worse. She didn't bother me all that much. Benny Safdie was worse than her.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I agree with that. Benny Safdie was awesome. He was a lot of fun. You're Obi-Wan Kenobi? He's the best. Are you getting a call right now?
Yeah, I am.
From who?
My mother.
What the fuck, Mom?
Telling her I can't.
Tell her to fuck off. You know how you talk to your mother?
Mulaney? What are you doing here?
Hey, it's me, John Mulaney. I've arrived in the studio. I let Dave Chappelle open for me.
Uh-oh. He's like his dad said, he's got the backbone of a chocolate eclair.
Truly.
So, let's get into the movies this week.
Yeah, do we want to start with Borg Bobber?
Let's start with Borg Bobber. So, the Bob's Burgers movie.
There's a TV show, in case you hadn't heard. It's called Bob's Burgers.
It's been around for a long time. 10 years or whatever.
The young people apparently really like it. I've watched maybe 10 episodes collectively.
I've watched like 20 collectively.
So I'm not huge on the Bob's Burgers lore. It's cute. It seems very much like a show I would put on while I'm doing something else.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So in the movie, Bob and his wife, Linda, own a burger shop, and not making a lot of money right now. They're struggling to pay back the bank.
They got three kids. There's Louise, Jean, and Tina. They're all fucking weirdos.
All weirdos. And then things get worse for the family when a big fucking sinkhole opens up right in front of their restaurant.
Because
a pipe burst. And it kind of opens, and it uncovers a body, and it opens up like a murder mystery, and they're trying to keep the restaurant, and wacky shenanigans ensue.
You've seen the Simpsons movie? It's like that, but worse.
It's like that. So Bob's Burgers.
You really liked this movie.
The sense of humor of Bob's Burgers has always connected with me more than, like, I feel like with you.
I've always said you have the humor of a millennial white woman, so I...
Yes, I have.
I've said that a lot of times before just now.
It's true. Like, I hear it every day.
You wake up to it in a cold sweat.
Yeah. Oh, what do you say? Okay.
Zooey Deschanel.
Okay, yeah. But... this movie worked for me because I feel like it took everything that was in the show and put it in the movie. I really like the rapid fire style of humor, almost like a light version of what Phil Lord and Chris Miller do, where they just throw 10 jokes at you. So if one misses, a couple lands. Yeah. So it's like,
it's cute. Like, I don't know. Like, I think. It did everything I guess I wanted it to. I don't know. I don't have that attachment to the show, so my expectations weren't really, like, anywhere. And I was satisfied. It's got some chuckles out of me. The songs are cute.
Yeah, the songs are cute. The voice performances are good.
The murder mystery plot's, you know, reasonably compelling. It's predictable, I guess, but, like, it's also a, you know... I'm not gonna sit here and pretend it's like Knives Out or some shit.
I like the animation.
Yeah, no, it's again, like, it meets all the metrics but never really exceeds them. And I think how much mileage you get out of this depends on how much you get out of the show. If you're a big fan of the show, I think you're really gonna like this. But if you're like me and a little more kind of ambivalent, then yeah. Like,
I really just think it's kind of geared towards specific senses of humor.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if it's about, like, being a fan. Like, I obviously fans are going to love it, but I think this is newcomer-friendly. I thought that, you know, it reasonably introduces the character. I mean, I guess that's the question.
Because it doesn't... It's
but, not, like, if you were, like, just, like, dragged to this by, like...
Yeah, saying,
like,
you're not going to have a bad time, I don't think.
Like, I think it reasonably, shows, like, its batch of characters.
Yeah. It's just like, if I had never seen, like, if I had never seen the show before, if I didn't know this was a show, and I just, like, went to see this, it would be, like, one ear out the other.
Sure.
Like, it'd be like, yep, that was cute. It was alright. Which, again, like this is clearly, like, I think this is clearly made for fans of the show, which is, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's totally fine. It's just, me personally, didn't get a whole lot out of it, but I thought it was alright.
I mean, yeah, it's all about the gags, it's all about the jokes. Yeah.
The jokes are the best part. It is a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, there's some good gags.
Remember all of them right now.
It was mostly in the songs. I saw the songs. I love how they animate the dancing.
Do you know what's one thing that really sucks about hosting this podcast? Yeah. I can't remember shit to save my life. So I'll, like, make a point about a movie and then be like, yeah, you know, they did... like, you know what I mean? Like
we should make notes.
We should. We really should take notes, huh?
Let's do that.
That would ruin the vibe. We didn't.
Okay.
We have an aesthetic. We stuck to it. We're sticking to our guns.
But I like how they give each of the siblings like
something
a goal.
To do.
Or,
yeah,
like,
everyone's
something.
Got an arc. It's a tightly written movie. It's just, again, like, yeah. I don't know, like, it's the Bob's Burgers movie. What more do you want?
It is, yeah. If you like the trailer, you'll like the movie.
I can't stand the way the characters dance.
It's so funny.
It's awful. I hate looking at it. It sends a shiver down my spine.
They dance like wacky, wavy, inflatable, arm-flailing two men.
You and I have differing opinions on rotoscope, and that's definitely what it's, like, emulating.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a human danced, and they, like, animated over it.
It's so funny to me.
It looks like... Did you ever watch Adventure Time?
Yeah.
James Baxter, who's animated by someone else.
Yep.
Like, it looks like that. It looks like someone else came in and animated them dancing. And
I love
like,
it.
Ooh. Like, it's funny, but it just, it activates the uncanny valley for me.
Yeah. There was just, like, there was moments I laughed, moments, like, it just...
I laughed, I cried, I was horny.
All, those, yeah.
Those are the three metrics on which to base any movie.
The three metrics. I mean, there's not, like, a ton to say about it. I just thought it was a solid, solid animated movie.
Kevin Kline, Zach Galifianakis. I don't know if those characters are from the show.
Yes. Are those
the landowner? And
yes,
the, and
those are from the show.
Word.
One of the characters in the show is voiced by Bill Hader, but he's barely in the movie, and so they didn't.
Oh, who is
him.
It?
Is it Jimmy Jr. who she likes?
His
friend, like his like big meathead friend.
Oh, that's Bill Hader
in the show, I believe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a solid movie to me. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it. I would recommend it to my mother because she's the biggest Bob's Burgers fan.
Honestly, I think that should be our new rating system. Would you recommend it to your mom?
I would absolutely recommend it to my mom.
I would recommend Bob's Burgers to my mom. 3 out of 5. This was okay. This was cute.
I'm honestly feeling a 4.
Damn, that's very generous. They're gonna come for you for this one. You're gonna give Avatar 2 a 3.5 and they will come for your throat. They'll find you.
Dude, Avatar 2 looks litty.
Looks sick as fuck, dude. Honestly. Did we talk about the trailer yet? We must have. No, we didn't. Because when we would have talked about it, would have been in the fucking Multiverse of Madness episode.
You're right. We talked about a lot that got wiped on that episode.
That is like the most tragic loss we've ever suffered on this show.
It's true.
Rip to that fucking episode, but
yeah, the Avatar 2 looks lit.
Avatar 2 looks sick as fuck. It, vibes.
The visual effects are
that amazing. One shot where he's like pulling the strap on the, yeah. It's like a close up and it's
crazy,
looks flawless,
insanity. I think it looks fucking cool as hell. James Cameron.
Speaking of movies that are cool as hell, though,
let's go back in time.
To 1986. Kyle, you gotta keep talking.
Top Gun. Directed by the late, great Tony Scott.
Heaven in the Twilight.
And stars Tom Cruise.
Yes, it does. Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan.
Michael Ironside. Tom Skerritt. The guy who plays Goose.
I'm not remembering his name right now.
Oh, Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer is Iceman.
And it follows an elite group of pilots who go to a specialty
training.
It's
like the Xavier School, but for good pilots.
It's like the top 1% of pilots are all like recommended to this like advanced school of training called Top Gun,
mm-hmm.
And out of that, the ones who graduate are like the best pilots in the world.
Spoilers for Top Gun, I'm assuming.
Spoilers for the first Top Gun. And it follows Tom Cruise's character, Maverick, and his wingman.
No, say his real name.
Pete. Oh, yeah, it is Pete. And then his best friend, Goose. They call each other their call signs.
Yes. Val Kilmer plays Iceman, who is like their rival.
Antagonistic force.
Yeah, he's an antagonist, but he's not a villain.
And Tom Cruise is Maverick is a very hot-headed pilot. He's very... He doesn't play by the rules. And it's just him going through the school. There's not a big plot.
I admire the fact that there is no plot in this movie.
No!
The fact that there is no fucking story. It is, like, not none. But there's, like... There's not really, like, an end goal, I guess. Unless you want to count, like, them graduating from the school. Like, it's literally just, like, 2 hours of vibes.
I didn't actually have big expectations for this movie at all.
Yeah.
It's not one of the most loved 80s films by any means.
Yeah.
Critically,
at least. Critically. People fucking love this movie.
People love it.
I mean, it just the second one just made $156
million
at the box office.
But even like on Letterboxd, it only has like a 3.2
it's because people are snobs.
Yeah, fair. But that being said, I dug the hell out of this movie and thought it was a blast.
This movie is
cool. I thought it was distilled 80s cool cheese.
Little Michael Bay in 1986 watched this movie, sat down in theaters and watched this, and it blew his fucking mind. He said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. It's like all the excess of the 80s, but none of like the like dirty, like grimy side of it. It's one of the most like purely earnest films ever. It truly captures the magic of guys being dudes like no other movie.
Oh,
can.
Yeah. It has the corniest soundtrack ever.
Oh, it's so good. The fucking the volleyball scene like is pretty famous.
The color, everything gorgeous shot movie. During sunset
The thing that really impressed me about this movie for the time, though, were the stunts. Some of the jet stunts in this are really fucking cool. I could tell Tony Scott's definitely trying to emulate the trench run. Yeah. In Star Wars, there's a lot of those shots where it's like the cockpit, like facing them and everything. That was very reminiscent of that.
And it's like, it's not like the clearest shot action because, you know, they couldn't like plan out the jet stuff in terms of like geography.
Yeah.
But in a way that messiness kind of helps because it edited, feels chaotic.
It's edited in a way where that feels intentional.
It feels chaotic and
like high impact like, all over the
place.
And you
have no idea where the enemies are.
There's one shot in the new one we'll mention that's just like that. Yep. Where you and I both like were like, Jesus Christ.
I lost him in the sun. And then like the relationship between Maverick and Goose works super well.
Yeah.
They were clearly lovers.
So gay for each other.
So gay 100%. For each other. This movie's very homoerotic.
This movie is about a man who loses his gay lover, the love of his life. Spoilers, Goose dies. But he has to learn to move on and live with it, which he doesn't if you haven't seen the sequel. But
yeah. At the end of the second act, they're doing some training, and in the other jet is Iceman, and they get caught up in his jet stream and spin out. And as they're like ejecting from the cockpit, Goose hits the
There's
top
like
of the canopy.
He breaks his neck.
Which
I had heard was based on a real accident that had happened from one of like the Air Force consultants on the film. Which is a bad way to go.
No, yeah. But yeah, it's just... And then he's got a relationship with like his teacher.
You gotta watch him pretend to like women for a little bit.
Yep.
Which she is just... slight spoilers, I guess, just nowhere to be found in the sequel.
No.
Well, do we know what the deal with that is?
No.
Oh, she just didn't want to come back?
No, I don't think she was asked, I heard. In the interview. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Did Meg Ryan get canceled?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah, I it's such a simple film. It's so straightforward.
Truly. It wears its heart on its sleeve. And
this movie is beautiful sunsets and guys being dudes.
This is the best military propaganda ever.
The most convincing military propaganda, because this looks fun.
Yeah, honestly.
Looks like jets, guys hanging out, your enemies become your friends. Like,
what more could you ask for in a movie?
Yeah, it's a banger. It's an 80s banger.
3.5 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Fuck yeah.
It's a banger. And now we get the legacy sequel.
The long gestating.
Top Gun Maverick.
Yes.
We'll say spoiler free for now.
For now.
This is the follow-up. Tom Cruise's.
I guess you could also do the plot synopsis for this one.
No, go for it.
Okay, so Top Gun Maverick is the follow-up to 1986 Top Gun. We see Pete Maverick Mitchell, who has languished in his role as a captain. He hasn't accepted any promotions. He won't retire. He wants to fly.
Yep.
And he is instructed, he is brought in by Top Gun, his former academy, to teach a group of students who are all the best pilot graduates from Top Gun, bring them all back for a very dangerous super secret mission. And one of those pilots is Rooster, Goose's son. And so that kind of, they have a strain in their relationship and everything. And it's about, you know, it's all about him trying to, like, make sure they're ready for this and trying to, like, make up for the mistakes of his past and stuff like that. Themes and shit. What'd you think of Top Gun Maverick, Kyle?
It rips.
This movie rocked my shit!
It's good.
We are, like, fresh out of this, dude. We saw this, like, 10, 20, 30 minutes ago.
And what's good, you know, if you just look at this movie on a surface level, like narrative structure, character archetypes, it seems very similar to the first one. Because it is very similar. But it's expanded on.
Mm-hmm.
They deepen it. They deepen the character relationship.
It takes everything like that next level down to where it really like digs into the relationships. Like, you know, you really realize like how deep that relationship between Maverick and Goose was, the fact that it still, like, affects him now because he's all like, ah, sins of my past and shit.
Yeah. Listen, like, the story, it's very corny.
Yeah. Super, it's a Top Gun sequel. Like, it. But the beauty of it is that it never is, like, winking at the audience about it. No. It's corny and it loves it. Like, it is proud of the fact that it's cheesy as hell.
Yeah.
Schmaltzy. Yeah. Schmaltzy in, like, a good way.
Very schmaltzy.
Gorgeous looking movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
some of the best direction of Joseph Kaczynski's career, I think.
And obviously a lot of people will come for the...
They'll do what?
They will come for the aerial photography and stunt work.
Yeah, dude.
And it's impressive. It's so super impressive.
Every single jet sequence is jaw-dropping in this. The climax?
Yeah.
Incredible.
The last 20 minutes or so are really, really, really fucking cool.
Tom Cruise acting his ass off in this?
Yeah.
Really giving it his all. He's like crying and shit. I'm like, Tom, you're really doing it.
Yeah, it's good. And I thought Miles Teller was solid in this. Thought that...
Everyone gives a pretty... John Hamm's really good in the... he kind of plays the Tom Skerritt role in this. He's like the hard-ass general.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ed Harris shows up for like 5 minutes as a colonel.
Ed Harris, yeah. Oh God.
Glenn Powell
is the replacement for Iceman. He's Hangman.
Yes. Speaking of Iceman, well, you know what? We won't spoil that. We'll get into that.
But yeah, it just, you know, it's paced well.
The
sound design is pretty booming and bassy.
I hope this gets to snag some tech awards come award season.
Yeah, at least nominations, because the visual effects are seamless.
Incredible.
I couldn't notice that was the first thing
we said coming out of that. I couldn't tell what was practical and what was a visual effect. No, it was cool as hell.
Like, this has the best visual effects of Tom Cruise's career, for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
as much as Mission Impossible Fallout's one of my favorite movies ever, you know, you can tell where the visual effects are.
Seven looks really good.
Seven is going to be a banger.
Gonna drive that train off a cliff.
God damn, they really do derail a fucking train.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, like, Tom Cruise, since he became producer on his movies during Ghost Protocol, his action set pieces are just the most fucking reliable thing ever.
He expects a certain level of quality, and I think he has the ability to, like, bring that out of people, too. Like, he brings the best out of a crew, you know what I mean? I think people just like working with him. Do we want to give our ratings and jump into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
4.5 out of 5.
4 out of 5. A stronger 4 than the original 4 and the Bob's Burgers 4.
So it's the best 4 of the 3.
It's the best 4 of the 3.
But which is your least favorite of the 3?
I'd probably say Top Gun Maverick, Bob Burger, Top Gun. All
right.
This is a solid 4 week. I like all these movies.
Bob Burger.
This is in retaliation to everyone saying I don't like movies. Who said that?
I did.
Well, no, there was someone else.
I think it was my friend Jansen who commented. He told me, he was like, does Kyle even like movies?
If we look at our ratings, I think we probably have, like, the same rating.
But I feel like just generally, like, well, I mean, we're both pretty critical, I feel.
Yeah. But spoilers.
But I'm large, so that's why he picked on you.
Fair enough. So, spoilers.
Val Kilmer's back!
Val Kilmer comes back, and they do it in a very respectful way because... in real life, Val Kilmer went through some serious throat cancer, and so he is not able to really talk anymore. Yeah. And so when he meets, he's typing on his computer. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very,
very
respectful,
very tasteful,
way to do
very
it.
Very tastefully done.
And then his character does die off screen, and there's a funeral, and it's nice.
Yeah. I thought his inclusion was really cool. I thought at first they weren't going to show him because... he's credited in the movie, but, like, him and Maverick will, like, text each other, and I thought that's all they were gonna do.
Yeah.
But, no, that was a surprise, and I was pleasantly, surprised with how tastefully that was done. The climax of this movie.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible shit. So they go on this mission, they have to, like, traverse through a valley, low enough to where they won't get caught on the radar, but fast enough to where they can get in and out before any jets can, like, scramble to fight them.
And they have to basically go in two groups where one jet blows up...
Speaking of the trench run from Star Wars, yeah, it's a lot like the trench run from Star
Wars. Well, the first jet has to blow up the, like, protective barrier.
Yep, and then a second jet has to come in and actually drop, like, the payload and blow up
a uranium, it's like a nuclear facility. Deposit. And the whole training, everything in the movie is building to this climax, yep. and then they pull it off, and there's, for like the first like 10 minutes of this climax, there's no music, mm-hmm. it's just the fucking roar of the jets and the fucking
like high impact editing, like it's cutting back and forth. The shot I was talking about is when they get out of the valley and like all the SAMs are going off missiles.
That's
and shit.
Such a great
shot. We were
shot.
Like, what the fuck? That like you couldn't tell who was what, but like in like an intentional way, like it really like it captures the chaos.
Really
of
great,
what's going
really
on.
Great stuff.
No, and then
Tom Cruise gets shot down saving Goose
Rooster.
Sorry, Rooster.
No, if only he had saved Goose.
Damn. Yeah, but he like, yeah, he dies in front of Rooster and gets shot down. And
then Rooster saves
him and
Maverick,
gets shot down.
So they have to steal a jet from the base they just blew up.
And then enemies start chasing him, and
it's
such
a
great dogfight.
It's almost like a little short film in itself, like this last action scene. It's very cool. And then it all resolves in a bit, like they make up because Rooster kind of blames... Maverick for his father's death, but you know, and Maverick blames himself, you know what I mean?
And he also got him
pulled from the Naval Academy, set him back like a bunch of years because his mom made Tom Cruise promise her not to let him fly and everything.
Yeah.
After what had happened. So, like, he couldn't tell him that. And it's like, the drama here is really, like, it's, like, simple,
they really,
but it's effective. You
but
know
they,
what I mean?
They really try. They try.
This movie is a great legacy sequel because it utilizes the characters and the themes from the original in like an actually like the progression is logical, like it makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think Joseph Kosinski was a good pick because he's such a, like, he's just a sturdy craftsman.
Yeah.
There's
I actually thought Christopher McQuarrie directed this for the longest time.
Yeah, I did too. He wrote it, I think. Or co-wrote it. And then in the first 10 minutes, the first set piece of the movie is him going Mach 10 speed.
He's like a test pilot at the start. Like he's flying those like big like Blackbird jets, the stealth jets and everything.
And he has to take it to a certain speed, Mach 10. And the visuals they do during the scene are incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like my jaw dropped.
It's
scenes are why you're there. We didn't even see it, but you got to see it. Biggest screen available.
That dog liked it.
The biggest screen available because...
I think there's also something to say about, like, the meta layer here of, like, this aging kind of, like, rebel without a cause, like, hotshot type. Like, the world kind of moving on from Tom Cruise and everything. But, like, him still, like... proving he's got something left to give and everything.
Right.
Like, I think there's like...
Is this the first time he's ever acknowledged his aging, Tom Cruise?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, because the character is very, like, he's, like, creaky and, like, old. Like, he's kind of, like, got to get back in the game, you know? He's a little rusty, and
yeah.
I think this is maybe the most human Tom Cruise has ever appeared in something that's an action movie.
Yeah, like, in the last few decade or so.
I think there's definitely something to that.
This is just a good blockbuster.
Honestly, this is why we make fucking movies, man. This is what it's about. Everyone say thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. But yeah, I again, these are such simple movies, mm-hmm. but like they're just good. They're just sturdy.
Planes and shit.
So yeah, go out to see this. Watch the first one first.
Immediately,
they are definitely...
right now. Turn off this episode. Go to your local Cineplex and watch Top Gun Maverick 3 times in a row.
Or see the original first if you haven't.
Well, I mean,
because
yeah,
they are on Netflix.
Go watch Top Gun Maverick.
Does that
do it for this week?
I think that does it for this week.
Damn.
If you guys like the podcast,
which we know you did,
thank you for listening. And you can follow the podcast if you don't. On Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Shakedown, and you can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd at Kyle Craigbaum. That's KRIEGHBAUM.
And you can follow me on Twitter at J_Dennis99 or on Letterboxd at my name, Jordan Dennis. Kyle, you wanna get Jurassic in this bitch?
So, in 2 weeks' time, Jurassic World Dominion comes out, so we thought, since we have a free week next week, we're going to be having ourselves a Jurassic Marathon and talking about the original trilogy plus the first two Jurassic World movies.
Yes.
This is a Jurassic old time. Nothing else is coming out, right, on our radar?
I don't think so.
Let me just fact check this real quick. No. Does not look like it. I don't think Crimes of the Future is showing
near us.
Unfortunate. We'll catch it when it's out. But yeah, so tune in for that next week.
See you guys.